So this is kind of the initial unscheduled part of the meeting where we have Fadi here. Fadi, you've had a chance to meet several of the folks, in fact, all of the ESSAC members who are assembled here. There may be some on the phone as well. But without further ado, I'll hand it off to Patrick.
Thank you very much. Patrick Feldstrom, Chair of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. We will, before we go into our regular meeting and the agenda that we have planned, I would like to Fadi, to welcome you. Thank you very much for coming. I would like to, even though you walked around and said hi to everyone, I would like the ESSAC members in the room just to state their name and their affiliation. So I start myself, Patrick Feldstrom, NetNode Sweden.
Jim Galvin, Vice Chair with Affilius.
Federico Neves with NIC.br.
Rod Rasmussen with Internet Identity.
Douglas Mond, Department of Homeland Security.
And on my right-hand side?
Julie Hammer, .au Domain Administration.
Philip?
André Philip, .cz, the new member of ESSAC.
Russ Mundy, Sparta.
Warren Kamari, Google.
Don Blumenthal, Public Interest Registry.
Ram Mohan, Affilius.
And I think, is there any ESSAC member on the phone? No ESSAC member on the phone. So this is, Tufada, this is the public meeting that we have, and apart from the ESSAC members that we just that you just heard, we also have, of course, happy to see other visitors, board members, and also, of course, the excellent staff that help us. First of all, before I describe ESSAC, I think all of us that visited the great gala dinner yesterday, André, that is a guest on ESSAC at the moment, because we have our membership, the board is confirming, but he's accepted as a member, so his guest, André, thank you very much for yesterday. Yes. So, a short introduction of what Security and Stability Advisory Committee is doing. We are a group consisting of 38 members at the moment. We do. We have in 2012. We have two new members and one departing member so far. We started a few years ago to appoint people on 3-year cycles, where we review 1/3 of the members each year. We do the review by having a membership committee, which act as a non-com. So they have close meetings where they interview people. They have a standard process for seeing what people think, what they think they can add to ESSAC. The chair of the way we have split in the administrative leadership that we have split the workload is that I'm the chair. Jim Gavlin, my vice chair, is chair of the membership committee. And then Ram Mohan is the liaison to the board. So we are three people that are dividing the administrative tasks between us, okay. And that works really, really smoothly. Yes, exactly. Regarding the membership, it's also to talk more generally about what ESSAC is doing is that we're an advisory group that reports to the board directly, and we do approximately. You don't have to flip the slides.
Okay. Julie gets trying to figure out where you are.
She's too good, so she's trying to find the slide I'm on, and this is without slides. So what we're doing is that we write approximately 6 documents each year. So that is sort of the workload that we can handle. We do comments on some other kind of things, but sort of 6 documents a year. So the documents are produced in something that we call work parties. So, and people that are members of ESSAC can join those work parties if they want to, if they can add something to it. The documents, often when the work party is done, is reviewed and accepted by the whole committee. And then when the committee is done, so the review process for ESSAC documents is inside ESSAC, and then it's published. So we don't have any public consultation. Then other parts of the ICANN community can refer to it if they want to. we do write these reports. The actual work items themselves are initiated either by having us internally find out that this is really important, a document on this task is needed. It might be a question from the board or from other groups within the ICANN community. So lately, we have got most questions from either the board or the government advisory committee. And then we write our responses and make them available. So that's how it works.
Okay. Very good.
Some of those reports, of course, include recommendations. And the recommendations could be to anyone, but to the community, to the registrars, to registrars, to people operating name servers, could be to anyone. Mm-hmm. But the most important recommendations we write is, of course, to ICANN board. Mm-hmm. Recommend to have following resolutions. And that's where the liaison to the board in the form of RAMO is very, very important. So, and sometimes, of course, ICANN picks up the work items and let us continue to work, ask us to do more deeper work. So that's basically how we are operating and what we're dealing with. The overall responsibility has to do with anything that has to do with the names and numbers and what ICANN is doing because of that or anything that the board is.
Looking.
At the moment, a lot of people unfortunately think that we're only dealing with DNS matters, but it's actually wider than that. Yeah. So the membership committee that Jim is chairing, what we are trying to ensure is that out of those 38 people, we have approximately 35. We're a little bit high now, but we think that we will see what we can do about that. So, but the members in total is supposed to have knowledge about every aspect of security and stability of the Internet. Okay. And that's why you heard when we walked around the room, some are registries, some are registrars, some are root server operators, some are dealing more with routing, some are more customers, lawyers, different kind of law enforcement, different backgrounds. So with that, do you have anything that you would like to say? You are, of course, if you can, I do understand that you have a tight schedule. But anyone is allowed to be here in the meeting, like we see many in the room, including you, of course. But if you want to say something, over you.
Sure.
Thank you.
I guess good morning. Start with that. I had the pleasure of spending a beautiful evening in a nice setting with Patrick and a group of people when he joined me at the dinner, and I got to understand kind of a little bit the driving force behind this advisory committee, and I'm very appreciative of the work he does with all of you and the work you all do. I also want to tell you that your choice of a board liaison, just speaking from my board vantage point, is a remarkable choice, really remarkable choice. And not only because he brings your view to the board, but Ram is actually a very, and I can tell these things, he is a very sharp mind who's been very helpful on many nuances of decisions, complex issues that we're dealing with. And I'm sure you noticed by now that I get shepherded everywhere I go. It's the only place I've been able to do any private thinking is when I'm behind the bathroom door. Everywhere else there's somebody, I have a schedule daily that says, this is your shepherd. But when I've been shepherded by this man, which he has shepherded me a couple times, it's been fantastic because he comes prepared. He tells me exactly what I need to know. So thank you for, again, picking a superb liaison to our board and someone that I think is bringing real value to the community. So thank you for that. I love your work because it's issue-centric. A lot of the places I visited this week, and I don't know ICANN very well, so I'm learning. Our centric around affiliations, the fact you described the people around the room to come from every background, but focused on an issue. Frankly, it's almost how it should be. So I really like the fact that you're all focused on one issue, no matter what the background is, and in open sessions like this, everyone can give their opinion. This advances your issue and your cause and puts it to the fore in a true multi-stakeholder way. So you, in a way, embody the multi-stakeholder model very well. Needless to say, your work is of utmost importance. It's very important work to individuals as much as to governments. everyone needs to care about the security and stability of this environment. So I'm going to be... if I thought the job was difficult on Monday, I'm now realizing that the job is not only very difficult, but it's also very... it comes with huge responsibilities to the public good. I'm not crushed by that yet, but I am very, very, very humbled by that. It's not just humbled, more than humbled. I feel the weight of the responsibility. And if I had little doubts on Monday, why am I doing this? This is. I think these doubts are gone today, because I feel that. This is very important work, and your part of it is immensely important. So I'll be paying close attention to your issues, to what you bring to the board personally, and I think Ram does a superb job making sure that they're heard. But I appreciate what you do, and thank you for including me today, Patrick.
Thank you very much. So with that, I would like to go back to our. Original agenda. I would like to tell the people around the room that it is okay to sit by the table even though you're not ESSEC members. So if it's crowded, you want a table space, there are a couple of more seats. So thank you very much. So now let's go through the slides. So an overview for people in the room. We were formed in 2001, 2002. It was decided to start in late 2001 and early 2002, we started operation. We provide guidance to the ICANN board, supporting organizations, advisory committees, staff, and the general community. And it's up to each one of the documents and advisories that we write to itself express what the receiver is. Next, please. The charter of ESSEC is, as you see on the screen, that we are to advise the ICANN community and board on matters relating to the security and integrity of the Internet's naming and address allocation systems. Next, please. We have, as of March, we have 38 members. We have two new members and one departing member. In 2011, we had four new members and four new departing. And we have been talking in ESSEC about the size of the membership, and we have said that we are now approximately at the size that we think is working most efficient. When we are doing our review, which we are doing one-third of the members each year, we have those said that it's really important that the membership committee, which Jim Galvin to my left, the vice chair of ESSEC, that when they are doing the review, it's very important that the review is in the form of it's very important that the new members are matching a need of a skill set that ESSEC as a whole needs. So that is a different evaluation than, for example, finding a very, very good person that unfortunately have a skill set that overlaps with the skill set that we already have in ESSEC. So it's very important that ESSEC as a whole can cover everything that we need to be able to work with. Next, please. We published a number of documents in 2012 where the three latest ones is an advisor and delegation of single character internationalized domain names, SAC 52. It is a report on dotless domains, SAC 53, and one that was published just a week ago on the domain name registration data model. Out of those, the domain name registration data model is something that came out of the work that has been done in ICANN related to Whois. The report on dotless domains was a work item that we picked up in ESSEC on our own, just because specifically around the previous ICANN meeting, there was a lot of discussion about dotless domains, and we felt there an explanation is needed what the actual implications would be. And then an advisor on delegation single character internationalized top-level domains is something here. You can go back and look at that one yourself. Next slide, please. Oh, sorry, go back one. We also, one thing that I want to point out is that we also did two comments to the public, to public consultations is something that we have published as well. The most recent one was last week or two weeks ago when we submitted comment on the fiscal year 13 budget. And there were a couple of budget requests that we had that that in the preliminary budget were rejected. That triggered us to there were a couple of recurring budget items that we got approved the last 5 or 6 years that this year suddenly was removed. We felt that that would have such a great impact on operations and our ability to deliver to the board, so we felt that we had to write a letter to the board in the form of a response to the public concentration of the fiscal year 13 budget. As a result of that, the current preliminary budget have that budget item approved. So we'll see how it goes. But we take it very seriously that that we are evaluating what, so we get the budget that actually matches the ability for us to deliver. Next, please. The current work parties and working groups we have is the Standing Membership Committee. We participate in the Working Group on Internationalized Registration Data and the Domain Name System Security and Stability Analysis Working Group. We also participate in the form of myself and Ram in the board DNS Risk Management Framework Working Group. Susanne as well, so we have three people there. We have two work parties active at the moment, the impact of DNS blocking, which are very close to finally to actually release their report. It's the final review within the work party at the moment, and then it will go to the whole of all of ESSAC. Then we have a work party that that is in, let's say, mid-term about the root key rollover in DNSSEC. Next, please. We have this year had public meetings and collaborations, just like normal, with a few of the supporting organizations and advisory groups at this ICANN meeting. We also had quite a long meeting with law enforcement agencies, and that work is ongoing and I think very, very effective. We have a couple of work parties identified for future work, where the first one about what to do with registration of domain names that are used for abuse. That is a work party that is going to be launched or was launched this week. We're also thinking about doing work on security disability issues related to the new DTLDs. We are still looking into what the actual scope of that group will be. And then we are, of course, looking into continuously deployment of IPv6 in addition to IPv4. Next, please. So with that, over to you, Jim. Oh, let me ask, is there any questions on this overall review? I think we should, my suggestion is that we go into the reports and then we take questions. But if there is any overarching questions, let's take them now. Okay, no. Over to you, Jim.
Thank you, Patrick. So I'm going to give a short presentation here on the most recent publication from ESSAC, the Domain Name Registration Data Model. Next slide, please. So the Domain Name Registration Data Model, it's a straw man proposal that we're offering to the community, expressly to CCNSO and GNSO, but certainly the community at large for discussion and consideration. We're hoping that it will become a starting point for discussion in this place. What we did was reach out to what we know today in GTLD registrar and registry agreements and escrow agreements. Of course, the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group and its document results from the WHOIS review team, as well as some prior publications that ESSEC has produced. Those are all of the things which motivated us to want to produce this document. Oh, and of course, CCTLD. CCTLDs and what they do with registration data. Most important thing that I want to say about this document is that it makes no policy assertions. This is strictly a technical document. It is intended really just as a point of discussion, as a place to start this work with all of the relevant communities. Next slide. Now, why is this important? It has been noted already in the past several times The WHOA's review team, of course, made its recommendation about the fact that there is no uniform data model that exists today for registration data. And the fact that this is true is one of the things which complicates all of our data submission, handling, exchange, and access issues. This has been noted in the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group final report. ESSEC has reported on this a couple of times before in its publications over the last couple of years. So creating a standards-based, structured, nice, extensible data model would help to deal with a lot of the variability that we see today in directory service representations, otherwise known as WHOIS. Those who are paying attention to all of this work will realize, you know, WHOIS tends to be Latin script based. So there are a number of one-off, you know, implementations that try to deal with this issue in various places. And, you know, one of the fundamental problems with this is the lack of a data model. Next slide, please. So what we did, what ESSEC did in trying to pull together a proposal for how to deal with this was to choose to create what we're calling a typical domain name lifecycle. One of the things which we discovered quite quickly is that there is a fair amount of uniformity among GTLDs with respect to their data model and how they use registration data, there are still some registries with some specific requirements. So there is some variability there. Of course, amongst the CTTLDs, there's actually a fair amount more variability in how they deal with the registration data and the data that they collect. So creating a single uniform look at data didn't seem like the right way to approach this. So what we did instead was decide to enumerate all of the data elements that might be needed to support a typical life cycle. Next slide, please. We imagine this life cycle as looking like just a registration. A name is available for registration, becomes registered, it comes into existence, it's used, and there are some events that occur during the life cycle of this domain name. Then it expires, may have a grace period associated with it, and then it's released and ready for registration again. The next slide. Just a little bit deeper look at what a typical life cycle looks like. You know, a registrant wants a name. They're going to ask if the name is available. There may or may not be a registrar present. As they make that query, if it is, they decide that they want to buy that name and use it for their purposes. And in the bottom right, you get an indication of the fact that there are several information stores, databases, if you will, that are affected by this registration that comes into existence. You have your directory services represented here as a WHOIS record. That's a database that has to be populated so that the information is available. The DNS, of course, name needs to resolve in order to use it for anything. And, of course, the registry is going to have its database of registration information, whatever it needs to keep in order to manage this domain name. Next slide. So the data model is just an enumeration of data elements. Okay, we are proposing a descriptive model where we simply list the things that are needed. And what we've done in the document is actually collect these elements into little mini groups. And the groups of data elements are associated with events in the life cycle. What we're proposing is a framework with which a profile can be created for managing the registration data. So we have a single data model where you have a fairly complete list of all of the data elements that might be needed to manage a registration. They are divided up into collections, which are associated with events in a life cycle. The idea here is that for a registry, it could create its own life cycle, whatever is specific to its needs and its requirements, and then it would reach and draw on the data model and look for the collections of elements that are appropriate for those events in that registry. So there could be, in the GTLDs, you could imagine that there might actually be a fairly small number of data profiles because, again, there tends to be a fair amount more uniformity in how registration data is collected and used in GTLDs. In CCTLDs, there could very well be a larger number of data profiles. whatever is important for those particular groups. So the relationship here is one data model with lots of profiles. It's also useful to point out that we could consider creating data profiles for directory services, whereas today we essentially have a single data profile, which is the WHOIS protocol, which implicitly defines a profile for a representation of data. It might be possible to think about different profiles for different directory service access. So you might have a public access profile where you separately define the data which is available to the public. You could have a separate profile for law enforcement, for example, and maybe associated with that different access, control, and authentication mechanisms. You might have a separate profile for intellectual property concerns, and they might have then different access to this data. So it allows you to separate those discussions and solve those problems separately rather than trying to bring everything together. And, of course, a separate profile for escrow. So once you know what data it's important to a registry for management of it, that sort of implicitly defines what data needs to be available if you need to transition the registry. Next slide. So our specific recommendation here is reaching out to SOs and ACs, primarily, you know, the registry and registrar stakeholder groups in the GNSO and, of course, the CCNSO. But obviously, we're pushing this out to the community and asking for comments on the completeness and the utility of this framework. The idea of creating a fairly complete list of data elements, a menu of them, if you will, an extensible model, of course, so you can always add things as you need to, and then you build profiles on top of that so that now you have a standardized and uniform way to access and manage the data, and yet you can still have uniform representation and uniform other services, standardized other services to it. The next slide. We recognize, you know, fully that ccTLDs and gTLDs really are going to have different data profiles. And I think the point of this proposal and this suggestion as a way to frame these discussions is that this really is a framework. And rather than trying to harmonize these two models, is to recognize that they should be different and they should be allowed to be different. Instead, what you focus on is creating the extensible data model so that everyone is at least working with the same kind of data, and then they can go forward and do what it is they need to do. And I believe that's it. Next slide. So we will be specifically asking, you know, for a working group to continue this work, take this as a starting point of discussions. And what we've been doing at this meeting and now here in our open meeting is just socializing this particular document and this proposal and hopefully getting people interested in wanting to move forward with progressing this work. Thank you.
Yes. I'm sorry to intervene. I'm going to have to leave for another meeting. But I just want to say I wish I could join SSAC. Would someone want to take my job and I can come here? This is very interesting work. Actually, this is precisely the work I did at RosettaNet. We created schema and data models so that systems can talk and create some kind of commonality in how data is saved. So this is very useful work. I'm personally very much in support of creating this, and that does not create a, that's my personal opinion, that does not, let's say, alter necessarily, I mean, I don't think SSAC is recommending what information must be shared. I think what you're creating is a schema that makes it standard and structured, and there were, even at RosettaNet, we had to drag people to that concept. It took a lot of work to get people to agree on how to structure a basic purchase order so our systems can talk. This is useful work, and I wish you the best with it. And thank you for inviting me. I hope I have a chance to come and spend more time here in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fadi, and thank you very much for being able to find a slot in your crowded schedule. I looked at my own schedule for today, and I don't think I will have lunch, but then, of course, there are some people that beat me as well. So thank you. And thanks to Ram that managed to make our schedules to work together. So back to this this WHOIS study. Any questions, discussions? Jim, we have got some, when we have presented this to the other SOs and ACs, we got some feedback. Maybe you can try to recollect that one and maybe see if that triggers some discussion.
So in the registry stakeholder group, when we made the presentation, there were essentially two comments, one which was very much supportive and in favor of moving forward and progressing the work, and there was one particular comment that was more in favor of not beginning this work, expressing concern about interrupting the progression of the new TLD program and not wanting to add any additional work while we were moving forward with dealing with all of those issues. But in any case, I think that the registry stakeholder group at least took on the question of considering whether or not to pick this work up. It was clearly identified that they had been delaying work on a data model for, the number that was mentioned there was at least 2 years. They had been deferring any sort of discussion about moving forward. So hopefully we have sparked some interest there, and they'll want to adopt it. The registrar group was mostly neutral. There was some discussion about what it was. They jumped into a discussion of validation of data, so they had some questions about how this was related to that. But they expressly took on the question of considering whether or not they could move forward and could adopt a work item to look at a data model for registration data, and they seemed very receptive to the idea. The CCNSO also had a mixed reaction like the registry stakeholder group. We had actually some very good comments and suggestions about clarity of the document and how to present it. In fact, they came from Jay Daly, who I saw in here before. He's down there somewhere. Yeah, so thank you, Jay, his comments. And I hope that I have adopted your comments in the presentation here and going along this time. Thank you for that. And there were others who had, similar concerns from what came out of the registry stakeholder group. But in any case, at the end of it, they took on the action to consider whether they could adopt a work item to look at a registration data model. So from that point of view, I felt very satisfied that we had at least generated some interest and called attention to the fact that this is work that has long been needed and in many ways has been languishing for a while. So hopefully we can pull together some communities, a community of people, and really dig in and progress this work. Thank you.
Any comments or suggestions from the crowd in this room? As Jim said, we have got a fair amount of feedback, which I think is absolutely excellent. And that is exactly that was sort of the goal with this document, to get feedback from the community. So more, please. Okay, so with that, let's move on to Ram regarding the ESSAC outcomes implementation.
Thank you, Patrick. Some of you will remember that we began this this work party a while ago, and the core goal here was to focus on measuring outcomes. One of the fundamental principles one of the fundamental things we talked about was if you don't measure what you're doing, it's hard to figure out how to get better. And the initial challenge was to figure out what to measure and how to make sure that we are effective. Next slide, please. And the intent is to improve our work practices. Could you go to the next slide, please? And the thing is, what is the intended effect of ESSAC? And what we came up with was, are we providing advice in the areas outlined in our charter? So are we sticking to our remit? That's one. And the second is, having given this advice, is it actually being used by our intended audience, inside the ICANN community, the supporting organizations, board of directors, advisory committees, etc.? Next slide, please. So we have some data that shows that our work is being listened to and acted upon. I won't go through all of the text on the screen, but you look at 2003, we had something measurable. But 2009 onwards, there is a kind of a regular stream of a way to draw a line between ESSAC work and a board resolution, something that requires the board, that has the board either not just accepting, acknowledging the work that we've done, but taking our recommendations and converting them into actions that are either directed to the community. So in SAC 37, that resulted in the IRD working group being created. But in other cases, as in SAC 41, our recommendations were the direct reason why the board in the new GTLD process ended up saying DNS redirection and synthesized DNS responses in new TLDs are banned. And we have similar things going on with in recent times with single characters as well. Next slide, please. So, in terms of implementation, and this is where our truly excellent and dedicated staff have just been stellar. It's required almost no prompting, follow up, follow through, etc. It's just a well-oiled machine, and Julie is just awesome at all of this stuff. But and Steve has been fantastic at gathering some of the data, and Dave has been providing really cool advice, good advice, useful advice on how to make sense of what's being what's being gathered. But there are four items. Two are in development. Two are done. And if you look at the SSAC webpage, Julie, that's just ssac.icann.org, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so if you look at that, you will find that each report that we generate has a link that says what from our charter justifies the work that has been done. And there are also tracking actions. There's a website. On the website, there's a new web page that tracks the actions that result from our documents. And we didn't want to go back all the way to 2002. We just started from 2009 and documenting onwards. Yes, Julie?
Actually, and you'll see in the chart that I've included, we did actually go back to the beginning.
Oh.
We were able to go back to the beginning. So I should have updated this slide, and but it was recent that I found that we could do that. So
you're ahead of me as usual. On number three, that's a survey, and the challenge with surveys is you have to do them judiciously, and typically with surveys, if you ask good questions, you will probably get answers that are actionable. But if you ask the wrong kinds of questions, you will get the answers that you knew ahead of time were the answers you wanted to get. So there's a little bit of judiciousness that has to happen there. And on the fourth one, to review Google link stats periodically for each document. Steve, can you speak just a second about what we're doing there and what you have done so far and what we intend to do?
Sure, Ryan. So the this link statistic to see how many times our reports are cited, both in terms of ICANN documents that are published by other SOs and ACs, and also in general, by the other internet community. So it's not the perfect statistic, but it's like a first step to see, whether the report have been used. Yeah. So this is in development. Yeah.
Next slide, please. If you've already been to the site, you know this stuff, but Julie's got this highlighted. Next slide. That's the outcomes table that we talked about. That's item number two on the work that we committed to do. That's listed one by one. Next slide, please. And then there are details in the community wiki where we talk in much greater depth about the outcomes. Next slide, please. Questions?
Please. My name's Mikey O'Connor for the transcript. I just wanted to add one to your list of outcomes. I was on the 20-year march of the IRTP working groups in the GNSO, and Another one of the ESSAC reports that was very helpful as a member of a working group was the one that talked about the emergency action contact. And there were several things that were helpful. One was that it was written quite a long time ago, and so I could pound the table and say, isn't it ridiculous that we haven't done anything about this? Another was that the language in the report was very specific, so that I could essentially capture the essence of the problem and the solution right out of the document, and with only minor arm twisting and gnashing of teeth, cram it into our report. It only took us 7 years to get it done, but hey, better than nothing. So just another one for your list.
Thank you. Other questions, other comments? Back to you, Patrick.
Thank you very much. So with that, everything that we had scheduled on the agenda is something that is done. So that was a very efficient meeting. But that also means that we have another sort of 20 minutes for open issues and questions. And maybe specifically non-ESSAC members in this room might have some questions they would like to have discussed with ESSAC. Please.
Thanks. I'm not really clear of the process by which ESSAC identifies something that it thinks it should look at.
So what we do have capacity to work on up to six items a year, between four and six. As the chair, I think six is successful, four is a failure, so in between. We are an advisor to the board, so when we prioritize to see what do we actually going to work with, we prioritize direct questions we get from the board. That's number one. The second priority are questions that we get from other SOs and ACs. And then for natural reasons, it's much easier to respond to very specific questions, not like, what do you think of, and then like, what do you think of the robustness of the internet? That is something that I actually have pushed back and said, I'm sorry, we cannot take on that task, but if you have something more specific, then it's easier for us to take it up. So there is sort of a negotiation going on there. Because when we get questions, which has happened, for example, when we wrote the SAC 50 on blocking, which was a question from GAC, that question from GAC actually went back and forth, I think, four or five times before we accepted taking it on as a work item. And just because at the end of the day it was a very focused question, we delivered in, I think, two months or something, and the document itself is 1.5 page. So that is one example of what I think is a very successful, both cooperation and also. So given that we have taken care of those things, then if we still have a quota to work on other issues, then we are picking up things on our own. So because the members of ESSAC, they of course have good imagination of what kind of documents might actually have an effect and what kind of things might be needed. For example, the .less top-level domains, that's one example. So, .less domain names. So that's one example of a work item that we picked up on our own. On the other hand, so that is the actual process. But just because it is sort of not more formal than that, that's why this feedback is very, very important and this work that Ram just went through, because we have to make sure that what we are doing is according to our charter, that the whole ICANN community has approved. We are doing things according to the budget, and we are mapping everything not only to our charter, but also the work plan of the overall work plan of ICANN. And that's how we are sort of referring back to the ICANN strategic goals. So that's basically how it works. Jim?
Just for completeness, ESSAC has a procedures manual that's documented, which actually does speak to this issue as well as many other things about how we work and what we do. The membership committee, too, for example, how it works. And that is accessible on the ESSAC website. If you go right to the ESSAC.ICANN.org, there is a reference to the procedures manual, and you can grab that PDF right off of that page if you just look through the text that's there. Thank you.
Any more questions? In that case, I declare this meeting ended, and I give back 15 minutes to your life.